Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The day of Pentecost has finally come. Our rejoicing through the Easter season culminates in the third greatest feast of the church year, Pentecost. In the Old Testament, Pentecost was commanded by God. All the men had to gather 18 and over into Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Weeks. Eventually, that feast would also rejoice in the giving of God's law. And so the men were gathered in Jerusalem that Pentecost already, not because the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out. Now, yes, those 12 knew that they were to wait in Jerusalem until the Paraclete, the Helper, had come, just as Jesus had commanded. But they were all gathered there because this was a holy day of obligation, if you will. The men were called by God, commanded by God to gather, to celebrate their first fruits, their weeks, and the law that God has given. Pentecost takes place 50 days, the Greek word for 50, after the first day of Passover. And so it fittingly makes sense that we gather on Pentecost 50 days after our Lord's resurrection. What a joy it is, even with waterfalls abounding, to rejoice with you this morning. On this Pentecost, this feast, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit was upon those 12, confirming that Matthias had been sent. And these 12 miraculously spoke in tongues that they had not learned. The Holy Spirit worked that ability in them so that when all them that were gathered heard the word of God, they heard it in his own language, in his own tongue. This is not some sort of gibberish. This is not some sort of rolling around on the floor. This is not some sort of DuckTales dancing to the tune. This is the miracle of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit works. We understand Pentecost to be the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. We understand the work of this Holy Ghost. The same Holy Ghost that hovered over the face of the deep. The same Holy Ghost which went with the Father to come and look down at this Tower of Babel. The tower that they thought they had built up into the heavens to be their own God. God said, let us go down to look at it. This Spirit, this Ruach in the Hebrew, by a wind, breath, spirit, the words are the same in Hebrew, man received life. By a wind, the floodwaters receded. By a ruach, the Red Sea was split. God works through his breath, through his spirit. He sent it upon those 12, confirmed that they are his chosen. God confirms that you are his chosen as well. Not with flames of fire, but with water. Because in your baptism, water was poured upon you. The word of God filled that water, and the Spirit filled you. This is the baptism by water and fire. The Holy Spirit is poured out on you in your baptism. Every single morning, when you wake up, Luther encourages, make the sign of the Holy Cross and say in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, that you remember that you are baptized by water, by the Spirit, which brings the fire. What a joy it was for them to miraculously be able to speak in those languages. Some of you are very gifted at languages. Some of us take years to practice languages and still don't quite get them right. You should start Latin class on Thursday with us. Maybe you won't know all the languages of the world. Likely you never will. But really, the languages, yes, are essential here, but that's so that they can hear it in their own language. Gibberish is not helpful. And if we do not teach what words mean, then we shouldn't use them. This is why we teach the words of our liturgy. This is why we teach the words of the Lord's Prayer. What does thy and thine mean? It is yours, and it changes depending on the sound that follows. It is important that we do not just eschew these words. Rather, we study them. We learn them. One of my favorite words in the Te Deum of Matins has been replaced in our new hymnal. But the next time you sing that last stanza of the Te Deum, shout out a vouchsafe and see how good it feels. It means to grant. But the languages, is that all the Holy Spirit does? Too often our brothers and sisters in Christ focus on the languages, the tongues. They focus on the serpent handling. They focus on the poisons. They focus on these things as opposed to what the truth really is. And the truth is that they preach Christ and Him crucified. This Jesus, whom we crucified by our sins, this Jesus, whom those Jews gathered around to shout out, crucify Him, crucify Him, He was put to death for them. For you and for me. But miracle of miracles, death and that grave could not contain Him. Jesus is risen from the dead, and He will never die again. All those who die in the faith will be raised on that last day, as will all of creation. But on that last day, those who confessed Him in their lives, when their knees bow, when their tongues confess, it will be to their eternal glory. Miraculous. Tongues of fire filling this room where the disciples had gathered. So miraculous that hundreds and thousands gathered around to see what was going on. You remember when hundreds used to gather to see what the church was all about. But now they filled their days with other things. They filled their days with extra time to sleep. They filled their days with doing extra yard work. They filled their days with tournaments. They filled their days with 9 a.m. football games in London. They filled their days with all sorts of things that will pass away. The Holy Spirit remains forever. These men seem drunk to us. Why do they seem drunk to you? Because you do not understand how God works. The joy that you have as a Christian may appear as drunkenness to others. Why are you so happy? Surely you've been drinking. No. I have the Holy Spirit, and because I have the Spirit, I have joy. I have rejoicing. That day, 3,000 were added to the church. They had seen this miracle. They had had the gospel of Jesus Christ in Him crucified, in Him risen, preached to them. And they said, "What must we do to be saved?" Peter's sermon is a beautiful, long gospel sermon, one that cuts them to the heart. This is Jesus whom you crucified. But today let me tell you that He is risen. Repent and be baptized. Receive the Holy Spirit. Be filled with Him. Jesus gives us words of comfort in the gospel lesson the same night in which He is betrayed. And when you think about that, the timing of this, the timing of him saying words like, "Peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. I leave you with peace, not as the world gives, but I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." This is the night that Jesus would be arrested. This is the night when the 12 would forsake him, when the one would kiss him with a betraying kiss. What does Jesus say to them before it all happens? Peace. But not as the world gives. Peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding. "I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I have said, 'I am going to the Father.' For my Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe." On the day of our Lord's resurrection, what are the words that he proclaims to the 10? What are the words that he proclaims the next Sunday to the 11? Peace. Shalom. He is the King of Salem. He is the after the order of Melchizedek, but eternally. This Jesus gives a peace that so many are searching for, that so many fill themselves, that void they fill with drugs, with alcohol, with images that their heart desires and craves but is not beneficial for them, fills them with all sorts of things like gambling, but none of them actually fill the hole. The peace can only be filled by Jesus, by his work, by his death and resurrection. This is the peace that he poured out on them. This is the peace that he promised them before he went away, and he gives them when he returns. This is the peace that the Holy Spirit gives them as he pours him out on them. This is the peace that you, dear child of God, have this very day. The world would have you shaken. The world would have you terrified. There are wars. There are rumors of wars. Inflation continues to be high. How are we going to afford? How are we going to pay for all the things? And yet our Lord provides us with everything necessary. There's so much fear, so much angst, so much anger out there. But you, dear child of God, have that peace. If you are simply waiting for the ultimate peace that will be given to you at the end of the world, a peace that the world will fall away, it will be consumed in that refining fire, you will walk with Jesus for all of eternity. What a beautiful, wonderful peace that is. And yes, we are waiting for that final consummation. But you have a foretaste of it right here and right now. Do not wait until the world gives you something to be peaceful about. Do not wait until the war with Iran or the war with Ukraine or the war in Israel-Palestine or whatever war comes next. You don't have to wait until that's done. Have the peace now. Trust in Jesus. Jesus talks about staying with him. He talks about staying in his commandments, in his word. You see, dear child of God, you are different. Not because you earned this being different, not because you worked to achieve it, but because you have this Holy Spirit living in you. Do not be surprised when the unbelieving world that has rejected this free gift does not walk as you walk. Walk differently. Walk in the word and the commandments of our God. You are called to be different. You are called to walk in his word, to walk in his commandments. You are called to have no other gods. You are called to keep his name holy in your mouth. You are called that when the Lord's day rolls around, just as you are doing right now, you gather. And I thank God that you have. I thank God that week in and week out, when you could be doing a million other things, you do exactly what you're doing right now. Thanks be to God that I get to be with you on Sunday morning. It is a joy for me. It is a pleasure for me to see your faces, to watch as the Word of God moves in you. We are called to honor and respect authority and life and the marriage bed. We are called to honor what God has given us and given to others. We are called to speak the truth because Jesus is the truth. We are called to be content. I am content. My Jesus ever lives. Dear child of God, when you leave this place today, rejoice. Rejoice that you got to spend an hour and a half with these brothers and sisters. Rejoice that you received the very body and blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Rejoice that you were reminded that you are a baptized child of God. The devil, the world, and your sinful flesh cannot take that away from you. Rejoice that we get to do it all over again next week. We rejoice. We follow. We do. Knowing that in our failures, in our weaknesses, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins. And so the church sings. Our path in all things order, according to thy mind. And when this life is over, and all must be resigned, O grant us then to die with calm and fearless spirit, and after death inherit eternal life on high. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.